city of Sydney, and there was two things that I noticed. The first thing that I noticed was that there are people who live in the gutter. They live down alleyways. I even saw some who live underneath town hall. They have newspapers as a blanket. They have rubbish as a pillow, cardboard as a bed. They're as good as dead. No one knows them. No one really stops to help them. Their life is lived out on the street in the gutter. There's the first thing I noticed last Thursday night in the city of Sydney. The second thing that I noticed, and I often notice when I go into Sydney, is how tall some of the buildings are. Head up if you've been to Sydney. Have you ever walked down like George Street and just looked up and gone, that's a tall building? They've got huge, tall buildings in Sydney. And do you know what they have at the top of lots of those buildings? Penthouses. Penthouses, really swish accommodation, really deluxe type of stuff with 360-degree panoramic views. Fantastic places. Do you know who stays in penthouses? Rich people, sometimes presidents, sometimes royalty. They come and stay in penthouses, sometimes rich men who are on business trips. And in some of those penthouses, some people live there permanently. They own them. They must cost so much money to buy a penthouse right in the middle of Sydney. The question this morning is it ever possible to move from the gutter to the penthouse? Can a poor person in a gutter become a rich person in a penthouse? That's the question. And as we think about this question, we're actually going to hear what a Christian really is. As we look at Ephesians 2 together this morning, we're going to find out what a Christian is. So if you claim to be a Christian, which is probably lots of you, if you claim to be a Christian, can I encourage you to listen up? Make sure that you are a Christian. Make sure you've actually understood what a Christian is. If you're not a Christian, or maybe you're just not quite sure whether you're Christian or not, it would probably be particularly helpful for you to listen up as well so that you can actually understand what a Christian is. I'm going to pray again. We've prayed a few times this morning, but I'm going to pray one more time that God would help us. Pray with me. Dear God, we do thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you've spoken to us in it. And Father, we ask that you would give us ears to listen. Please help us to concentrate. And we pray that today you'd help us to understand what a Christian is, that we'd understand what Jesus has done. And we pray that you'd help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first point this morning is that the normal state for every human being, for all people, is to be living in the gutter. That's the normal state for every person, is to be living in the gutter. Okay, have a look at verse 1 to 3, chapter 2. Make sure you keep Ephesians open, chapter 2. Keep your Bible open, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Paul there, he has a list of lots of different things that describe what Christians were. Remember, he's writing to a bunch of Christians. He's describing what Christians were before they became Christian. He talks about how they're dead in their transgressions and sins, how they followed the ways of the world, how they followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan, how they're disobedient, how they gratify the cravings of their sinful nature, how they're by nature objects of wrath. You could read it for yourself there, but I don't think you have to be Einstein to work out that it's not a positive list. It's not saying before you're Christian, you're really good people. You're really nice, you're really kind. It's actually saying before you were Christian, you were far from good. It's a very negative list. It's not a positive description. It's basically saying that we were dead. The Christian, before they become a Christian, was dead. Now, there's a movie out in 1995 called Dead Man Walking. Have you heard of that movie, Dead Man Walking? No, not many people have heard of it. I haven't actually seen it, so I'm not going to talk about the movie. But the movie Dead Man Walking, where it gets the word dead man walking from is a term that's used for people on death row. Do you know what death row is? It's the people who are about to be executed for some crime. So what would normally happen is as the executed prisoner walks from their cell to be executed, they'd call out, dead man walking. They'd call that out. Why? They'd call that out because this guy, yeah, he's alive, he's still breathing, he's as good as dead though. In a few moments he's going to be dead. That's why they call him dead man walking. It's just a matter of time. If someone is not a Christian, they are a dead man walking. They may be walking around breathing. They may be able to speak to you. You may be able to walk past them on the street and they look alive. But they're dead to God. They are objects of his wrath. It says there in verse 3 at the very end there. They're objects of his wrath. Wrath is just another word for saying anger. God is angry with them. And they are dead to God. Now, you may not have heard this much before. I remember when I went to school, our principal would often tell us how good we were. He'd often tell us how 99% of us are really good people. There's just that small little minority who occasionally do some bad things that spoils it for all of us. That's what our schools tell us. That's what the media tells us, that it's just that 1% of bad people and everyone else is by nature good. Our politicians survive by telling us how good we are so that they can get our votes. Not that you vote yet, but you will one day. But God, do you know what he says? God, the creator of the entire universe, do you know what he says about us? He doesn't say that we're good, far from good. He tells us in his book, the Bible, that we're in fact dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Have a look at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. What it's saying is that because of sin, we talked about sin yesterday, but because of sin, we are dead. Now, I'm going to remind you again, sin isn't just a list of naughty things when you get in trouble at school or when you steal something or when you lie or when you murder. Sin includes those things. That is part of what sin is. But sin, I'll remind you again, is our whole attitude of saying, get stuffed, God. It's our whole attitude of saying, get lost. I don't want you to be God. I'm going to be God. I'm going to live my way without any regard for you. It's when, look in verse 3 there, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. That's what sin is. Sin is when we live to please ourselves, to gratify ourselves, to make ourselves happy ahead of everyone else. It's really selfishness. Sin is just being selfish. It's looking out for me. I'm the centre of the universe. It's all about me. It's all about me. What does the Bible say about those who live to please themselves? Those who live with themselves at the centre of the universe? The Bible says that they're dead. I've said it a few times. They're dead. Not physically, but spiritually. They're dead to God. Now, there's some churches who'll try to win you to their church by saying how good you are and how great you are and how beautiful you are and how we believe in you. But I want you to hear this morning that the Bible does not say that. For the one who isn't a Christian, you are dead to God. You are nothing more than a bum living in a gutter. Death is what you deserve. Death is what all of us deserve for the way that we've treated God. We've treated him as if he doesn't exist, and what we deserve is to be cut off from all his good things. Every single one of us in this room today, without an exception, all your leaders, the person on your left, the person on the right, the person in front, the person behind, and you, all of us, without exception, we deserve nothing more than God's anger to be poured out on us. We deserve nothing more than to be thrown into hell for eternity. That's what the Bible says. It's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 says. It's what God says. But The Christian doesn't have to remain in the gutter. A Christian is someone who no longer lives in the gutter, but has moved to the penthouse. Remember here, Paul is writing to a bunch of Christians, and look at what he says in verse 5 about these Christians. He says that God has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Christians, if you're a Christian, you're actually no longer dead. but you've been made alive. And verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We have been raised to the penthouse, so to speak. We have been taken from the gutter to the penthouse. We're no longer living as bums in a gutter, but we're living as those who are God's people in the heavenly places. Now, there's countless stories we could tell. You probably, lots of movies, lots of our film stars, lots of our black American pop stars. They're the success stories. They're the people who have come from the gutter in the ghetto. They've come from getting a dollar a year to the big bucks bling bling. They're the ones who go from being a very poor person to a very, very rich person with even more guns. No, but there's countless stories of people who have worked hard, people who have busted their gut to get themselves out of their situation and taken from the gutter to the penthouse, from being a nobody to being a somebody, from being a poor person to being a rich person. So I want you to hear this today. It is possible to move from the gutter to the penthouse. There was our question at the start. Can you move from the gutter to the penthouse? Yeah, of course you can. It is possible to no longer be dead, but to be alive. It is possible to be saved from hell. It is possible not to go to hell, but to be with God in heaven. Now, can I tell you a secret? Can I? Nod? Yes. Can nod? Yeah, nod. Dead people, they can't do anything. Dead people can't do anything. Has that occurred to you before? What can dead people do? They just lay there. They can't do anything because they're dead. They can't do anything because they're dead. I want you to... here's my fist bowl, okay? It may look like a bucket to you, but this is a fist bowl, and in it I've got a little fish. Do you like this little fish? It's a really beautiful little fish, but it's dead. I killed it. I didn't kill it. It died of natural causes from poison that it died. It just happened to die. I've got this little fish here. What can this little fishy here... Say, hey little fishy.
Hey, little fishy.
What can this little fishy here who's dead, what can this little fishy do to bring itself back to life?
Not much.
Nothing. It's dead. There's nothing this little fishy can do to bring itself back to life because it is dead. There's nothing you can do. Maybe some special vet could come into the bowl and give the little fishy mouth to mouth and... Or like, it'd probably be... something like that. Give the little fishy mouth to mouth. There's nothing that this fish could do in and of itself. It would require someone from outside to come in and maybe put them on some machine that pumps their heart back going and gets them going again, revives them, gives them life again, whatever happens. It's the same with us. We're about as powerful as a dead fish. I don't know if you were expecting to hear that today. You are a dead fish. You're about as powerful as a dead fish. And there's nothing that we can do when we are dead and under the anger of God, because of our sin, there's nothing that we can do to be made alive again. The only way that we can be taken from the gutter to the penthouse is by Christ, by Jesus, what he has done. Why can we be made alive again? Well, certainly not because we're good enough. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that no one can be friends with God based on what they do. Look at verse number 4. This is a fantastic... I want you to underline verse number 4 and 5. I'm going to read it as you underline it. Underline it as I read it. How's that sound? Underline verse 4 and 5. If it's someone else's Bible, I think this is a good one that they can underline. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So because of the great love that God has for us, because of his unbelievable kindness, he has made us alive with Christ even when we were dead. Fantastic verses there. Again, if you get nothing else out of our week away on fat, remember those two verses. Because imagine that you're that dead fish in a fishbowl. We're dead people. We're dead men walking. God has come into our world as the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has made you alive. God has made it clear in the Bible that there's nothing we can do to be friends with Him, but the only reason that we can be friends with Him is because of something called grace. You might want to write that word down in big bold letters, grace. It's the only reason that we can be friends with God. It's because of something called grace. I want you to have a look at verse 8 and 9. If you're very happy, you may like to underline this one as well, but you don't have to. Verse 8 and verse 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now, grace, I don't know if it's a word we use too often. The most often you probably hear that word is, Josh is going to say grace, let's all pray. It's not grace in the sense of, let's say, thanks God for the food. Grace, when it's used in this context, is God's overwhelming kindness shown to us. Grace is when you get given something good. Okay, this is what grace is. Grace is when you get given something good that you don't deserve. Grace is when God gives you the gift of eternal life, even though you don't deserve it. It's not by works, verse 9 says. It's not by works. And that's good. That means we can't boast. We can't claim that we've gone from the gutter to the penthouse because we're good. We do some cool works and we say, and God says, "You're pretty cool," and lets us into heaven. It's not by what we do. It's totally by what Jesus has done for us. Grace is actually what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. Religions are all about doing stuff. Okay, if I'm a Muslim, it's about praying five times a day. It's about doing this. It's about doing that. It's about doing this. Religions are about doing stuff. Christianity is very, very different. Christianity is not about doing stuff, because we'll never be good enough. We'll always fall short if we try to get there by being good. Christianity is not about what we do, but Christianity is about what Jesus has done. It's a bit like a birthday present, I guess, grace. Hand up if you've had a birthday in the last year. If your hand isn't up, there's problems. Okay, now, hand up, keep your hand up if you got given gifts for your birthday. Good. Keep your hand up if you earned those gifts. How did you earn them? What did you do to be born? How do you possibly earn your birthday presents? Birthday presents are a free gift. You do nothing to deserve them. If anyone deserves a birthday present every year, it's actually your parents. They've done a bit more than you have to come into this world. There's nothing you do to come into the world. There's nothing you do to earn your birthday presents. What's that noise, Dave? Can you hear it?
I hear it.
Can anyone else hear it? It's really annoying. Two. Is that me? Two. Sorry, just a bit annoyed. The gifts that you get for your birthday are free gifts, just like the gift of being taken from the gutter to the penthouse is a free gift. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. So it is possible to be brought from death to life. It is possible to be taken from the gutter to the penthouse. The way you get there is not by walking up the stairs. You don't do it yourself. It's a free ride. Jesus gives it to you. It's a free gift. God has given us the gift of eternal life. He's given it for free. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, you can't sell it. It's free. Are you dead or alive? The way to be made alive isn't about what you do. It's about clinging to Christ. It's about trusting in Him. That's what the word faith means when it says that in verse 4 and 5 and verse 8 and 9. Having faith is just trusting in Christ and what He has done. Trust is simply relying on something. You put your trust in the chair that you sit on it and you trust, you depend upon it, that it won't let you fall over. So to trust in Jesus is to rely upon his death and resurrection. To rely that when he died in your place. I'll ask it again, are you dead or alive? I want to go back to the birthday present for a moment. When you're offered a birthday present, there's probably lots of ways you can respond, but there's probably two key ways you can respond to being given a birthday present. You can accept the gift and say, thank you. There's the first one. That's, I think, probably what most of us do. Sometimes you might get a gift and not really want to accept it. But if someone's given you a gift, you can accept it and say thanks. The second way you can respond is, nah, don't want it. You can reject it. You can reject it. You cannot take it. Just ponder for a moment how offensive it is to the gift giver to say, oh, no, thanks. How offensive it is to the person who's gone and bought you that gift to throw it back at them in their face. That's like with God. What he has done for us is he has offered us the best gift. This isn't a gift that costed $22 at Target. This is a gift that cost him the life of his son. So there's two options to respond to this gift. You can accept it. Or you can reject it. You can reject the gift that God has given. You can reject his son. You can throw it back in the face of God and say, get lost, God. I don't want your gift. Do you know what will happen? If you do that, you'll remain dead. Yeah, you're walking around, but you're as good as dead. You're dead to God and you're going to spend eternity cut off from the good things of God. Or you can accept it. If you accept the gift that God offers us in Jesus, you will be made alive. So what about you? I'll ask again, are you dead or are you alive? All of us at some time were dead, okay? The question I'm really asking when I'm saying, are you dead or alive is, are you a Christian or not? Christians are those who trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. Christians are those who have been made alive. Non-Christians, they're like dead men walking. You may be breathing, but spiritually you're dead. And unless you put your trust in Jesus, you're going to remain dead forever. Now, this morning I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to God's gift that he has offered us. I'm going to give you an opportunity. This morning might be an opportunity for you to actually cross over from death to life. I'm going to pray a short prayer. And if this morning you've understood, maybe like Jared and the other people that we've heard from this weekend, maybe you've grown up in a Christian family. And Laura, maybe you've grown up in a Christian family. You've heard all this stuff before, but today maybe it's making sense properly. Maybe today might be the day that you know for certain that you are no longer dead, but you've been made alive. So I'm going to pray a prayer. You may like to pray. This is what the prayer will say. It says, Dear God, I know that I'm by nature dead in my sin. Please forgive me and make me alive in Christ. Thank you that he died and rose for me. Please help me to trust in him. There's what I'm going to pray. Maybe today you want to cling to Christ. You want to put your trust in him and go from death to life. I'm going to pray that prayer. If you want to pray it, pray it in your head, pray it in your heart. I'll leave a little space there for you to echo after me. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I am by nature dead in my sin. Please forgive me and make me alive in Christ. Thank you that he died and rose for me. Please help me to trust in him. Amen. Do you know the exciting news? If you've just prayed that for the first time, you've just crossed over from death to life. And that is fantastic. And we'd actually love to help you if you've just prayed that prayer for the first time. So coming around now, Jono and Dave have got a piece of paper. I want everyone to grab this piece of paper. On it, there's four options. There's four things that you can do on this piece of paper. It says, today I prayed to become a Christian. I'd still like to know more about Jesus. I'm already a Christian. I'm not interested. Don't worry about putting all your details down on there. Just pop your name down and maybe your year group. But if everyone can fill it out, you might be a Christian. Fantastic, and you already were one. I want you to fill this out as well so that everyone around you can fill out theirs as well. So if everyone can do it quietly. You don't need to talk. Don't need to talk. If you're still not sure, tick the I'm not sure box. Okay? Maybe today you realise you're not a Christian. Maybe you might want to tick the I'm not sure box, and that might that'll help us to be able to help you to investigate things more. So very quickly, jot your name down. Tick only one box. It's impossible to tick more than one. Pop your hand up if you haven't got a sheet. I'm going to close now by reading verse 4 and verse 5 again. Once you've done yours, fold it in half, pop it in the air, and I'll hand back over to Jackson. I'm going to read from verse 4 and verse 5 one more time. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.